KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 34 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a high near 40 this morning with temperatures dropping off early in the afternoon. We'll have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, and there's a chance of rain or snow as well. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, the Lenox Police Department reports a Lenox woman was arrested on an assault charge Friday night. 19-year-old Brenda Perro was taken into custody on a simple assault charge associated with an incident involving another female after police responded to a disturbance at around 9:30 p.m. in the 200 block of East Michigan Street. Perro was transported to the Taylor County Jail. She later posted bond and was released. Newstime 801.
Tax season is here, and what's a better word to hear when you have Uncle Sam raiding your bank account than the word free? That's right, I said free. The TV Store, your local Verizon-authorized wireless retailer, is making it easy to pay those government dues and still get a brand new smartphone. From the Droid Razr by Motorola or the Droid Incredible 4G LTE by HTC, there's several options for free or free after mail-in rebate debit card. Phones with a new two-year contract agreement. You can have the power of the internet, navigation, even mobile hotspot in your hands with absolutely no upfront cost. With the ever-unpredictable economy, all of us here at the TV Store, your Verizon-authorized wireless retailer, want to take the stress out of getting your hands on that new smartphone. So come into the TV Store, your Verizon authorized wireless retailer today at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give us a call at 243-3032. Activation upgrade, early termination fee, and other fees apply. Coverage details at vzw.com.
The Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department's Board of Directors will hold a regular meeting this evening at City Hall. When the board gathers in the council's chambers for the 5:15 p.m. meeting, they'll receive updates on the Schilberg Recreation Area Campground, Sunnyside Park Tennis Court reconstruction, and an update on a new boat ramp near the wastewater treatment plant. In other business, Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring will review a meeting of the Schilberg Committee that took place February 5th. And the board will discuss plans for the summer recreation program, including swimming pool operations, the playground program, tennis, men's softball, and a YMCA management agreement. Members of the CAM, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, and Griswold School District's Board of Education will all have separate meetings scheduled for this evening. In Anita, the CAM School Board will gather at the High School Media Center for a 7 p.m. session, during which they'll hear a presentation on innovative classrooms, then discuss and possibly act on a resolution approving contracts and bonds for the multipurpose building, a contract, and the setting of date and time for a public hearing on the early start date for the 2013-2014 school year. In addition, the CAM School Board will take time to review the budget, set the date and time for a budget hearing, and act on a school funding resolution. Prior to their adjournment, the board will enter into a closed session to discuss negotiations for the 2013-2014 school year. In Elkhorn, the EHK School Board will meet in the Family and Consumer Science Room of the high school beginning at 7 o'clock tonight. And during their meeting, the board will act on a contract for a special education instructor, Andrea Wilch. They'll also hear a report from Superintendent Dean Schnows with regard to the reorganization timeline and discuss the 2013-2014 school calendar, for which a public hearing will be held in March. In other business, the EHK board will act on approving a whole grade sharing agreement with regard to the Iowa High School Athletic Association, a school funding resolution, and a matter pertaining to heat pumps. And finally, the Griswold School Board will meet at 5:30 in the Central Office Boardroom to go over and possibly act on a budget guarantee resolution, bids for chemical applications to the lawns, the selection of an engineer and designer for the school track project, and an agreement with Estes Construction and school-based interventionist. Elsewhere in the news, a new report finds a dramatic rise in the number of collisions between cars and bicycles in Iowa over the recent years. Mark Wyatt, executive director of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, says they've closely tracked statewide cycling statistics since 2008.
We've seen fatal crashes that have been dropping over the past years, but non-fatal crashes have been on the rise. About 11% they're up. And even more alarming is major injuries have risen about 30% over the past 3 years.
The report finds fatal bicycle crashes have fallen, dropping from 8 deaths in 2010 to 3 in 2012, while bicycle crashes resulting in injuries have risen from 400 in 2010 to 467 in 2012. Compared to driving, Wyatt said bicycling is still very safe in Iowa. According to the report, the most crashes happen in areas where the speed limit is 25 miles an hour during daylight hours.
One of the things that is climbing the most is crashes on non-intersection locations with no special features. That grew from 100 crashes in 2010 to 142 crashes in 2012. We're also seeing younger groups, that 16 to 24-year-old, those crashes seem to be rising. And we know that age group seems to be bicycling more than their other generational peers.
Cycling activists are lobbying Iowa legislators to pass a bill requiring all motor vehicles to maintain at least a 3-foot distance when passing bicyclists. It's about an arm's length.
It's room for the bicyclist so they can maintain control and certainly don't obstruct. The really important part about this bill is that that 3-foot distance is a number that can be taught. It can be taught in driver's ed, can be a question on the driver's exam, and it can be included on the driver's manual. And young drivers coming up that can specifically learn that number, I think, is going to be important.
Bills calling for the 3-foot distance have been introduced in both the Iowa House and Senate. Wyatt said more than 20 states have passed similar laws. Governor Terry Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will join for a state house rally in opposition to abortion rights. 9 groups opposed to abortion rights will gather this afternoon at the Capitol Rotunda to pray. They'll later meet with lawmakers to discuss abortion-related legislation. Branstad opposes abortion rights, but has declined to say whether he supported any abortion bills introduced this session. Jennifer Bowen, executive director of the Iowa Right to Life, said this is the 10th anniversary of the annual rally. She says her organization supports a bill introduced by Republican Matt Winchittle of Missouri Valley that would ban abortions, in which a doctor meets with a woman by webcam and then can prescribe medication. Governor Terry Branstad's proposal to attract more physicians to Iowa's less populated areas by forgiving medical school debt is welcome news to longtime Keokuk surgeon Dr. Phil Carlpresso. Carlpresso says loan forgiveness might help students who want to practice in smaller communities like Keokuk in southeast Iowa, but graduate with crushing debt. Branstad's plan announced in January would also increase the number of medical residencies in Iowa and try to reduce frivolous medical suits. The Medical Association report ranked Iowa 40th in the ratio of physicians to state residents, behind neighboring states Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Lawmakers would need to approve the plan. Companies that received incentives from Iowa in the past decade but failed to deliver the jobs and investments they promised owe the state $7.5 million. The amount owed is about 11% of the total incentives paid. But some of the companies that owe Iowa money have folded, so there is little recourse for the state. Iowa handed out $67.6 million between June of 2003 and June 30th, mostly in the form of low-interest and forgivable loans. State Economic Development spokeswoman Tina Hoffman said incentives help to attract businesses to Iowa. Starting a business is risky, though, and half of all small businesses fail in their first 5 years. Kurt Nelson of the Entrepreneurial Development Center in Cedar Rapids says he expects to lose 3 out of every 10 startups that get incentives. A businessman from Cedar Rapids is the first Republican to declare he's running for the northeastern Iowa congressional seat that will be vacated by U.S. Representative Bruce Braley. Steve Rathje said Friday that he will run for the first congressional district seat. He's the founder and president of International Procurement Services Incorporated out of Hiawatha. Rathje said he nearly ran against Braley last year. He says his campaign will focus on cutting spending and reducing the outsourcing of jobs. Braley's seat will be open because he opted to run for Tom Harkin's U.S. Senate seat after 4 terms in the House. Democratic State Representative Pat Murphy from Dubuque also has said he will run for Braley's seat. The first district includes 20 northeastern Iowa counties. And Representative Dave Loebsack is endorsing his Iowa congressional colleague and fellow Democrat, Congressman Bruce Braley, for U.S. Senate in 2014. Braley announced on February 7th his plans to seek the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Tom Harkin. Loebsack says after serving with Braley in Congress for 6 years, he's convinced Braley is the best choice to succeed Harkin and will fight to strengthen middle-class families and make life better for Iowans. Taking a look now at world headlines on KJAN, 1 month after the boyfriend of country star Mindy McCready died, or is believed to have committed suicide, McCready herself apparently has taken her own life. Authorities in Heber Springs, Arkansas, found the body of the 37-year-old yesterday on the porch of her home, the same place where longtime boyfriend David Wilson was found. Authorities believe both Wilson and McCready shot themselves. McCready left behind 2 young sons. A study out today says switching the TV channel from violent shows to educational ones can improve a preschooler's behavior. Dr. Dimitri Krasalisk of the Seattle Children's Research Institute says his research shows it's not just about turning off the television, it's about changing the channel. What children watch, he says, is as important as how much they watch. The study did show that the change in young children's behavior was modest and faded over time. News time is 8:10.
Hi, this is Jesse with the TV Store in Atlantic, your local Dish-authorized retailer. Do you want high-definition and DVR service on all your TVs in your home? Now you can, with the Hopper system from Dish. With the Hopper system, you can watch 3 live high-definition programs and 1 recorded event, all at the same time, all in HD. The system also includes Primetime Anytime, which will record all 4 major networks in HD from 7 to 10 p.m. automatically and store the information for 8 days, so you'll never miss your favorite program, even if the show broadcasts at a different time than usual. Stop by the TV Store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, and see a live demonstration of how the Hopper system can work for you. As always, we do our own installations and service what we sell. You can also get information by calling the TV Store at 712-243-3032. Limited time offer, subject to change without notice, regarding capacity limit in selection markets. Hopper available with qualifying HD packages, hardware and programming sold separately. Other restrictions apply. Call for details.
In our funeral announcements, 42-year-old Sean Lee Gustin of Cummings died Wednesday. Services for Sean Gustin will be today at 10 o'clock at the Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines. Hamilton's funeral home in Des Moines is in charge of the arrangements. Joyce McConnelly, age 86, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House, last Monday that is. Funeral services, graveside services for Joyce McConnelly will be today at 11 o'clock. Actually, 11:30 in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements for the graveside services for Joyce McConnelly. Michael Dennis, age 65 of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Exira Care Center. Services for Michael Dennis will be on this afternoon at 2:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Marion Benton, age 75 of Greenfield, died Saturday in Creston. Funeral services for Marion Benton will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Bernard Neary, age 85 of Audubon, died Friday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Bernard Neary will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Carol Tremmel, age 60 of Harlan, died Thursday. A massive Christian burial service for Carol Tremmel will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Judith Belknap, age 73 of Oakland, died Friday at the Oakland Manor. An open visitation for Judith Belknap will be held at the Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland on Tuesday with a prayer service at 5:30. Followed by visitation with the family until 7:30 p.m. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland is in charge of the arrangements. Alice Schumann, age 83 of Avoca, died Friday. Funeral services for Alice Schumann will be on Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Norma Joan Coles, age 76 of Omaha, died Saturday in Omaha. A massive Christian burial service for Norma Coles will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the St. Pius X Catholic Church in Omaha. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Merritt Spry, age 74 of Anita, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Merritt Spry will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Leland Dickmeyer, age 60 of Kirkman, died Friday in Omaha. Funeral services for Leland Dickmeyer will be held Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And Leo Armstrong, age 77 of Fontenelle, died Friday. Per his wishes, his body was cremated and no services will be held for Leo Armstrong. But a gathering of remembrance will be held at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle next Sunday, February 24th, from 1 until 4 p.m. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. That is a check of the news and funeral announcements brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.